We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
So next part of today's show, I'm going to dive into kind of what I'm looking for from the game. And it's not so much, you know, I want to see the offense on this team have X number of rushing yards or X number of passing yards, or I want to see this guy have 18 tackles, or I want to see Mike Denbrock call this play or that scheme. It's more so looking at the team and evaluating the positions and the players that I am going to put more stock in to say, that guy did something, or is that guy going to do something now that there's a little bit of a spotlight on him? And those are the different aspects of what I'm very curious to see in this game, more so than a lot of years. And I'll be honest, why part of it is because there is so much young talent on this team. And we always, as a fan base, and I think this is true of most fan bases I know, there's always some sort of intrigue by the younger players, the guys we haven't seen before, right? Like the players that have played a lot, we've seen them play. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. Sometimes we can obsess on their weaknesses, and then we look at this kid who's never played. He was a highly ranked recruit. He doesn't have the flaws. He hasn't been beat for a touchdown before. He's never dropped a pass. He's never missed a block. He's never missed a tackle. He's never thrown an incompletion in the game. You know what I mean? And so there's that unknown that intrigues us. And that's always true. But with this team, it's a little bit different because it's not just the unknown. It's the fact that this group of unknowns, in my opinion, is so talented. And also because a lot of the youth on this football team is going to have a big impact this season. So, you know, I'll talk about the quarterback here in a little bit when I get to the offense, but that's not a position where right now we know for a fact that youth is going to have to be served. And maybe it does, but hopefully it doesn't. I mean, you know, but there's other positions where linebacker, you're going to need younger guys to play. Safety, you're going to need younger guys to play. Offensive line, you're going to need some younger guys to play. Other positions, you don't need young guys to play a defensive tackle. But if guys step up, that's always a good thing. And so it creates different expectations when you look at the spring and different areas of focus when you're watching the game. And that's why for me, you know, there are different things I'm looking for. And if Jack Kaiser doesn't play well in the blue gold game, I don't care. If Jack Kaiser has 15 tackles in a blue gold game, I don't care. I already know who Jack Kaiser is. He's a 3-year starter. We know who he is. If Xavier Watts, like when Jade and Mickey had the pick six in the scrimmage last week, and I was like, wow, what a play. When Xavier Watts did it, you're like, oh, what time is it? 2:15? Okay. Yeah, because you're like, okay, yeah, that's Xavier Watts. He's an All-American. We know that's what he does. And so there's always kind of those reactions. And there are just some things that I just don't really, you know, I'm just not going to be necessarily moved by because, oh, wow, Howard Cross and Riley Mills played really well. Shocker. You know, it's the unknowns. It's the question marks. It's the guys we're not sure of. And this is going to be the last sort of taste that they're going to leave in our mouths as a football team where we're going to go out and say, okay, this is the last time we're going to see these guys until August. You know, and so the rest of it is, this is what we got. When we meet back next week at Irish Breakdown with you guys and we're doing shows and we're breaking this team down and we're going to the summer, it's all built off of what we think about this team based on what we've seen in the past. We're not going to see anything new until we get to August. And so that's part of the fun of this day as well. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's what makes it intriguing. I'm going to start it off with the offense because I think the offense has, for me, has a lot more of the type of situations, you know, the questions, how's this guy going to play? How's that guy going to do? Can this guy help you? Can that guy help you? And so I think a lot of people are going to have that when it comes to the offense. With the defensive line, there's always, or defensive side of the ball, there's going to be things we're looking for, but there's a lot more answers. And this is what I talked about yesterday. But I'm just going to say it right now. The first position that I'm going to be looking at on Saturday is quarterback. And I can tell by a lot of the responses in the show, in the chat, that a lot of you guys are going to focus on that position as well. I want to put a warning out to all of us that when you look at this team, this game, don't put too much stock in what happens in this game from a declarative standpoint. I saw this, that means this guy is going to be great or this guy is going to be bad. Because I remember in 2014, so actually spring of 2015, and I had this argument with people all offseason. I had the audacity in 2015 to say, if Malik Zaire gets hurt, and I hope he doesn't, but if Malik Zaire gets hurt, I think they're going to be fine at quarterback because I think DeShone Kizer can play. How can you say that? Did you not watch the blue gold game? He was terrible in the blue gold game. And I said, I don't care about the blue gold game. I really don't. Meaning if a guy plays great, it's confirmation of what you already knew. But if you don't think a guy can play going into the game, you shouldn't necessarily change your mind coming out of it. Otherwise, you'd think Junior Jabby's going to be a breakout. You think Nate Montana's about to be a breakout. You get what I'm saying? And a guy like DeShone Kizer goes out there in the blue gold game. He's terrible. DeShone Kizer ended up being pretty good that year. So I just don't put a lot into that. But I can't deny that I'm going to definitely have my eye on the quarterback position just because I want to see how they handle it. It's just another data point. And I actually think the guy with the biggest opportunity on Saturday is Kenny Minchie. Because when you look at the rosters, and I pulled them up earlier, and I'll pull it up again so we can kind of look at it. But you look at the skill talent around Steve Angeli on offense. When you look at this blue team, he's going to have Jeremiah Love, which is your projected starting running back, or at least 1A or 1B of a 1B situation. You're going to have Chris Mitchell, who's projected to be your starting Z. You're going to have Jaden Greenhouse, who's projected to be your number one receiver. You're going to have Deion Colsey, who's battling to be a starter in the boundary. You're going to have Eli Raridan, who's a dude. So there's a lot of skill talent around Steve Angeli in the game. And then, of course, when CJ Carr's in there, then you look at the gold team, and his running back is the guy that's their third running back. The next running back on the gold team is a walk-on who's a good football player but had been playing tight end his first 2 years at Notre Dame, and Justin Fisher. Your receivers are K.K. Smith and Micah Gilbert, who I'm very high on, but your only other receiver is Jack Polian. And then you have Cooper Flanagan, Davis Sherwood, and Henry Garrity there. So you could say, well, you know, it's kind of stacked in the favor of Steve Angeli. Well, that's the way the draft went. But to me, I think this is a great opportunity for Kenny Minchie, because you won't be able to say, well, of course he played well. Look at the loaded team he was playing on. He's going to have to manage the offense. He's going to have to, you know, get in the right checks. As I said last Saturday in the scrimmage, the best play that Kenny Minchie made all day, in my opinion, was a run check that he made, just because he saw it, he reacted to it, he showed command, he got everybody needed to get to, and he got the right call in, and they got, you know, positive yards. And so I'm very curious to see Kenny get a shot to lead the gold offense. I'm looking forward to seeing CJ do the same thing with this team. And so it's going to be a chance for him to kind of say, hey, look, things are stacked against me. Let's see how he responds. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how Kenny responds. Now, if he doesn't play well, it's not going to be something that I say, well, you know, Kenny had a shot. It's over. See you later. Go transfer somewhere. I'm not going to say that. Because it's a spring game. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. If Kenny plays well, if CJ plays well, I'm just going to be honest. It's going to tell me a little something. And just like the first time that I really thought, Steve Angeli might be a little bit better than I thought he was in a spring game. Even though I always say, don't put too much in spring games, they're not to be completely ignored. And it wasn't that, you know, Steve Angeli led the team on a game-winning drive. It was the manner in which he did it, just cool and calm and just no, not being shook at all. That meant something to me. And now Kenny and CJ get their chance, and Kenny especially on the gold team. CJ, I'm very curious how he handles the two ways. How does he handle being on the blue team and then the gold team? He's going to have completely different receivers in both situations. How does he handle it? You know, who leads the offense on scoring drives? You know, because you could see a situation where, you know, CJ has a touchdown on the blue team and a touchdown on the gold team. You know, how does that work? But I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing what Kenny and CJ do in this game. And as I said, you know, Kenny's going to have a chance to move the needle a little bit, I would say, but just put a data point together to say, hey, look, y'all can talk about Steve's experience and you can talk about CJ being a five-star. Both of those things are true in my opinion, but don't forget about me because I can sling this thing too. I can lead this offense. I can make the necessary reads. I can get the ball where it needs to get to. And I'm very much looking forward to see him do that. And that kind of leads into the next point of what I want to see from this game. When I saw that the gold team was K.K. Smith and Micah Gilbert, I had two reactions. Number one is, well, that's a little bit of an uneven receiving core. So when I saw the draft, I was like, well, I just assumed that meant Chris Mitchell was probably going to be on the gold team. Because why would you have Jaden Greathouse, Deion Colsey, you know, on and then also have Chris Mitchell? Well, I was incorrect. Chris Mitchell was already on the blue team. And so you've got K.K. Smith and Micah Gilbert. Based on this, I think we'll see a little bit of maybe two tight end looks with this group. But you know, when you are in a three tight end look, Jack Polian's been a slot guy so far. So you'll see K.K. Smith playing a little bit of Z. K.K.'s been back and forth between Z and slot this spring. I'm telling you guys, I've been very impressed with K.K. this spring when we've seen him. I was impressed with him last weekend. I've heard a lot of good things about what he's doing at Notre Dame. I think this is a great chance for K.K. to go out there and kind of make his presence felt, kind of like Jaden Greathouse did last year in the blue-gold game. But I really am looking forward to seeing K.K. get his chance to kind of go off a little bit and make some plays and battle against the blue team corners. And the same thing for Micah Gilbert. You know, like Micah had a great spring. I thought he struggled last weekend in the scrimmage. This is a bit of a bounce-back opportunity for him. How does he handle it? And how does he handle kind of, you know, did he bounce back with a good week of practice? Does he finish things off in a strong note? Very much looking forward to seeing that. And then, of course, Cooper Flanagan's another guy that had a spring. But I'll say it again, when you look at the pass catchers, keep an eye on Henry Garrity at tight end. I like this kid. I do. I don't think he's ready to help them right now. But I think he's got a chance to somewhere down the road be a guy that's part of the Notre Dame rotation at tight end. I'm very curious to see if they're going to get a chance to get him some footballs. But when you look at this great opportunity for K.K. Smith and Micah Gilbert, but I still am, you know, I want to see what they do at the other position too. I want to see that, you know, can Deion Colsey, who hasn't had a bad spring, hasn't had a great spring. I haven't heard anything bad about his spring. I haven't heard anything raving about his spring. You know, we saw the blue gold, we saw the jersey scrimmage last week. Deion didn't do a whole lot. Micah Gilbert didn't do a whole lot. You know, can Deion finish the spring off on a high note and put himself in position to go into the summer and the fall saying, hey, look, you guys can talk about this guy and that guy, but I'm going to be the starting boundary this year. I want to see Deion be that guy. I want to see him play with some urgency. I want to see him play with some confidence and some, hey, I want to be here. I want to be great. I want to be that guy and just show something, you know, show me something. I want to see that from him. Jaden Greathouse, honestly, don't care what he does in the spring game. If he goes off again, it's like, okay, another day where Jaden Greathouse went off. Chris Mitchell's a guy that I also, I'm honestly, it doesn't move the needle because, for me, because I've seen so much film of him, but we just haven't seen a lot of him so far for Notre Dame. Doesn't mean a whole lot because we talked about this. We talked about this in during the week. It's like, does him doing a whole lot in the spring game mean, okay, he's a great player? Not necessarily. Does him not doing anything in the spring game mean that I should just ignore that I watched him go off on Arkansas last year? Also, no. It's more confirmation. Like, okay, I'm glad I got a chance to see him go off a little bit. Glad I got a chance to see Chris make some plays. I'm glad I got a chance to see Chris use his speed against Notre Dame. you know, Notre Dame players, because we saw that in the first practice. But as I said at the time, it was non-padded, so it's advantage offense. I want to see Chris use his speed to make some plays in a more live situation. So the receiving core is still, as I said yesterday, a work in progress. There's a lot of talent there, but there's still a lot of questions there. And so when there's questions, that means there's opportunities for players that maybe aren't as solidified in a spot to make their mark and leave that lasting impression. Because coaches can tell you all they want. They don't care a whole lot about a spring game. But that doesn't mean if a guy goes out there and goes off that they don't take notice. And, you know, as I said, I'll use K.K. Smith as an example for the gold team. If K.K. Smith, who's had a good spring, goes out there and all of a sudden K.K. is, hey, I'm out here making some plays, man. I'm out here doing some things. Does that's going to mean something to me. That's going to mean something to me. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing that. Some people kind of singing like it's a setup. Hey, folks, these teams were drafted, number one. Number two, Micah Gilbert was the number one boundary receiver last week. And as we said, the blue team only has three scholarship receivers that are going to be playing. The gold team only has two. The gold team has a little bit of an advantage at tight end. They have two scholarship tight ends. The blue team only has one that's not a true freshman. The gold team also has the best offensive line. And I'm going to ask you here, if you're a quarterback in this kind of setting, would you rather have Jabron Payne, K.K. Smith, Micah Gilbert, Cooper Flanagan, and that offensive line, or the other skill players in the offensive line they had? Because remember, we were here last year. Remember the stacked blue team that we had last year that was Tyler Eifert's team or Tyler Buckner's team. And Sam Hartman was with, it was like Jaden Thomas, Jaden Greathouse, and like another walk-on. I think it was in the starting lineup last year with them. And what offense dominated? It was the offense that had the better offensive line. And so it's going to be interesting. And that's why I think for me, I understand, like, Jay Patterson, you said you're joking, but I kind of had that same thought, though. I mean, we're humans, right? We have that initial thought. But I also, when you think about it, you start thinking, like, man, this is a great opportunity for Kenny. Because if Kenny can move the ball with Jabron Payne and K.K. Smith and Micah Gilbert and Cooper Flanagan, start saying, like, okay, this kid has to put this group on his shoulders a little bit. And I think that's something that Notre Dame wants to see from Kenny. I think Notre Dame wants to see Kenny be a little bit more of a take charge kind of guy. Kenny is a very calm, polite kid and a little funny and sarcastic, according to some people, like great personality. But sometimes the concern can maybe be, is he a little too laid back? And this is a chance for Kenny to kind of take charge. And I'm hoping that he gets a chance to do that. So the wide receiver position is certainly a big question for me. Offensive line wise, lot to evaluate there. How does Charles Jagasol do against the edge players for the blue team? As you can see there, Charles Jagasol and Tosh Baker are the gold team tackles. When you go up here against the blue team, it's RJ Oben, Bryce Young, and Boubacar Traore. Three of your four most physically gifted pass rushers, three of your five, you could throw Jordan Patel in there, the three of your five most physically gifted pass rushers, and arguably your two most naturally gifted pass rushers are going to be on the blue team. You're going to be going up against the starting offensive tackles. So this battle, to me, we're going to look at from two different ways. I'll talk about the defensive side of it in the next segment. But for these two guys, look, Boubacar put some work in on Charles Jagasol in the scrimmage on Saturday. Beat him two or three times on one or two, in like two series in a row. And I'm curious how Charles Jagasol responds to that. I am. I want, you know, Tosh Baker, I've heard, has had some issues a little bit with speed this spring. How does he handle the speed that group is going to go at him? I think that matchup is going to be very important for me to see. I want to see that those guys can handle those matchups, that they can win some of those matchups. They can get a push in the run game in some of those matchups. It's also something I'm very much looking forward to seeing. Just the overall evaluation of the offensive line is one where it's still a work in progress. You've got Emil Wagner. He's going to get a chance to go against you know, a group of defensive ends that are also quality players. He's going to be going up against Josh Burnham and Jordan Patelho. It's a big spring for Emil Wagner. And this is a big spring game for Emil Wagner because he's a guy that we all know has lots of talent, but he's also a guy that just hasn't been able to put it together. Can he end the spring off on a strong note? I'm curious to see that because at the end of the day, I don't care as much about the play of the offensive line from the standpoint of did they play as a unit? Were they you know, they perfect in their assignments? I mean, those things as a coach, you always look at, evaluate, teach, and correct, but they're not necessarily needle movers for me because I have the whole practice. But I do think it's important to see guys compete. I do think it's important to see the guys are going out there playing aggressively, playing with a little bit of fire, playing with a little bit of want to, playing with a little bit of, hey, I'm still in. Because here's the thing. Spring games don't matter a ton, but if you're in a position battle, you're putting the helmets and pads on. It's a chance for you to make an impression. And Emil Wagner, as far as we know, has a chance to battle Tosh Baker. I don't think right now that he's done anything to make anyone think he's going to win that job right now. But this is another chance for him to say, hey, don't write me off just yet. I'm going to go out there and play really well in the spring game, and then I'm going to carry that into the fall, and I'm going to push for the starting job. That would be great because even if he doesn't beat Tosh out, if we get the best version of Emil Wagner in the fall and Tosh Baker's your starter or right tackle and there was a real competition, that means Tosh also took a big jump and is becoming the player that a lot of us hoped he would be. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that battle. I think the same thing is true inside. You know, you've got Rocco's. I'm really curious. Like, I just want to see Rocco Spindler and Charles Jagasaw playing side by side. You know, we talked about that earlier in the week on a show, and we got into a little bit of the, you know, if Rocco wins that job, think about the beef that's on the left side of that line. Well, we're going to get a chance to see what that looks like in the spring game. And I'm very curious to see how much run game that Mike Denbrock calls either to the left for the non-zone plays, but then right to the right on the inside zone plays, because inside zone to the right is going to cut back to the left, and that's the ideally where you want that run to hit. You want inside zone to hit backside behind those blockers. So very curious to see how much we see of that from Mike Denbrock with that offensive line. Jabron Payne, who's your hammer back, kind of how he does. You've got Justin Fisher, who's 6'2", 220-plus, running behind that line. Very much looking forward to seeing that. And if they can establish a run game, then that creates some opportunities or maybe out of some 12 personnel, 11 personnel looks that they can create some play action opportunities for Kenny Minchie to go deep. And but it's going to really come down to the offensive line. And then for the blue offensive line, as I mentioned earlier, you're going to get a chance to see Emil Wagner finish strong. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Subban Abshire does. He's a guy that intrigues me. I'd like to see him kind of finish the spring off on a strong note and see if he can kind of say, hey, look, I played in a way this spring that, you know, you need to think about me maybe being in competition for one of these starting jobs here, either this year or potentially Sullivan can put himself in position, even if he doesn't start this year, to go out next spring as a redshirt sophomore with 3 years left and grab hold of a spot next spring. So very interesting to see how he's going to do. And just the other part to me is, does the offensive line show any growth from what we saw a week ago? As a unit, and then also as an individual group, something very much I'm looking forward to seeing. And then the last part for me is, I want to see what Mike Denbrock shows in the spring game. Like, we're not going to get the whole repertoire, right? We're not going to get the whole arsenal of plays, but I am curious to kind of see what Coach Denbrock does in regard to what does he show, because you don't want to give too much away. But at the end of the day, they have all the film that he had at LSU. I promise you, Texas A&M is not only watching all of last year's film, but they're probably watching 2021 Cincinnati film. And if they're smart, they are, because they're going to look at that and say, well, they had a lot more tight ends at Cincinnati in 2021 than what Denbrock had at LSU. And Notre Dame's going to have a lot of tight ends. So we're going to see, we're going to need to know what he does 12 personnel wise to be ready for that. And you know, Mike Elko is going to think that. So we'll see some Cincinnati film. So there's not going to be anything that Notre Dame's going to do that's like, wow, we didn't know they were running that concept. So, I mean, you show your stuff to a degree, but there's going to be some wrinkles that you have that maybe you want to save for Texas A&M, or maybe you want to save for Purdue or somebody like that. And so you're not going to, you know, you've been working on, and I'm completely making this up, but you're, you know, you've got some reverse throwback, whatever pass that you want to do. You're not going to show that if you actually want to run it. If you have no intention of running like that, you may show it just to have some fun and maybe give some teams to think about some things to think about. But I'm very curious to see kind of what we see, especially in the run game, because that's more so where you're going to start to see what Coach Denbrock believes this offense is good at running the football. You know, are we going to see a heavy zone team? Are we going to see a little bit more misdirection, counter, pin and pull type stuff that Joe Rudolph likes to do, which we could argue maybe the offensive line, well, I don't think maybe, the offensive line last year wasn't really ideally suited for if you were running it with someone other than Joe Alt as part of that movement. So I'm curious to see what he's going to show. Very curious to see what he's going to show this spring. That's going to do it for the offensive side. I'm curious what you guys think. Leave your comments in the chat. Of course, we'll continue this conversation on the message board at boards.irishbreakdown.com. I want to see what you guys are looking for on Saturday. What are the things that when you watch the game, beyond just generally watching it, what are the things you hope to see out of it? You know, for me, I hope to see the young quarterbacks show me something as throwers and with just command of the offense. I want to see the receivers make plays. We didn't see anyone other than the Jaden Greathouse make a lot of plays last week. I want to see them win some of those contested throws that the defense won those battles last week. Those are all things that I'm looking forward to seeing from the game this Saturday. We talked about that, you know, offensive line, how they move. I'm curious what you guys think. What do you guys want to see from the Notre Dame offense this Saturday? What are the things you're really zeroing in on and saying, okay, this is what I'm focused on as we get our last chance to see this team perform this spring. So let me know in the comment section. Let me know on the message board. We'll have a lot to talk about. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go to defense next, folks, but hit that like button before we get out of here. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. We would love and greatly appreciate a 5-star review. If you are a podcast listener, obviously make sure that you know you're downloading our episodes and helping us, you know, get those views and making sure that we're able to continue that in light of all the changes that Apple has made recently and how they change download numbers. So we could use your help getting those numbers back up. Would greatly appreciate that. Share it with your friends. If you have Notre Dame friends who don't listen to Irish Breakdown, tell them they're missing out. They need to check out what we're doing. Definitely do that. And, of course, as I said, as always, sign up for the message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com. We'll be right back.